Anytime I get to that place, I have this bad feeling. My ear starts paining me. And in the mosque next door, we gather more people in Eastern Nigeria than you. That you know that God is really specially against you. But apart from things like that, really. No, people will generally, you turn out more people, you know. Now, but why I don't like that is because of what I do. I like to teach disciples, people who are hungry for the word of God. That's why when you show up, we pray and I start teaching. I finish teaching, we take announcements and we disappear. Because it has a purpose. The purpose is to teach. And since that is the purpose, all right, I am not interested. I said Jesus had a great ministry, different kinds of ministries. He had a ministry that a lot of people like still today. Gather plenty of crowd, but didn't used to teach the crowd anything. Used to tell them stories, all right, and just perplex them. Work a few miracles and everybody will go away. The more the bread, the more the crowd. Am I lying? That's the truth. They came to him one day. He said, Baba, we've been looking for you. See, where you go? He said, Jaguda. You are looking for me not because of any other thing, but the free, you know, now we don't have to work again. That guy, they produce. He said, because of that, wait. I'm not doing it again. They want to turn him to a church of free bread. I don't have that. He used to move back, all right, to the disciples, all right, and then teach those ones. And that's where my own ministry is. There are those who multiply bread. It's good. Not a bad one. Jesus did it, all right? So if you can multiply bread, you're still a Christian, amen? Continue more to multiply bread. But just not my area. I don't know how to multiply bread. Do you follow? Yes. I don't know how to do it. Now, why am I talking about that? He said it is Sunday. How can you be anywhere else apart from church on a Sunday? And to some people, it is Christianity. I've told you before, a man saw C.A. Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, an American, and he looked at Spurgeon. Spurgeon was smoking. I think a pipe or something. How can you, a preacher, smoke? And the guy looked and said, how can you, a preacher, be fat? Because D.L. Moody was around, Spurgeon used to smoke. In America, smoking was a sin. In England, fatness was a sin. It shows you are not fasting. You see what I'm saying? So we make habits of things that God did not command about, that he didn't say they were good or they were bad. All right? Now, nothing wrong with things that are good discipline. Cigarette smoking is sin unto your body. It is a better sin than lying. More Christians tell lies than smoke. More Christians are engaged in jealousy and envy than in cigarette smoking. But they feel more righteous than the man that smokes but does not tell lies. Some people, the only thing they have against Barack Obama is that if only he will stop smoking, they will support him. You don't know he smokes. Just look at his mouth, you will know. But the same people are angry, they are envious, they are jealous, they are lazy, they have every form of wicked works that the Bible describes, but they consider themselves better Christians than somebody else who's just killing himself. You know, he's drinking poison. Now, please, I'm explaining the principle here, all right? We focus on those things, and when we don't do this, that, we think we are good Christians. Because we have carved out one or two, what they call taboos for ourselves. Then when a man wants to pray, I've seen a young man tell me once, I know this guy for all kinds of bad works. Not all kinds, but some crucial bad works. He said, Banky, this matter is up. You know you're a Christian now. You know this is time to fast. You will fast and you will hold God and say, God. And I was looking at him. So you know God can be held. You know he can be chased after. Why are you still living the way you are living? As a matter of fact, he will give me testimonies. When this matter came up, I declared a 3-day fast. And I'll be looking at him. You did? And God answered you. He's trying to entice you to repentance. It is not the fasting. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? That is, what we do is that we just create those things and then sit there. And this is where I'm going into. we now do them periodically, like this. I say I'm using fast as an example. People will now say that, yes, it is time to fast. What is going on? You know, this year is starting. We want to pray that this year will be successful. Therefore, we are going to fast for 5 days or 8 days or 20 days or whatever number of days, all right? So that we'll be able to pray effectively so that the year will be successful. Listen to me, that is not Christianity. It does not improve the potency of such prayers. I know what I'm saying. Let me tell you what God is saying here. In fact, you've read it. That he said, this is what I call fasting. There are things that Christians are not supposed to do. So what you do is that you don't do them. Let me say something, all right? I've said it several times. Pastor Banky, what is wrong with fasting? There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing good about going hungry. There's nothing special about going... Listen, please, hear me well. Whether you're hungry or you're full makes no difference. What you need, all right, is the ability to concentrate and to have and not be weighed down by anything. Do you hear what I said? Listen. If you have worries and you go to pray and you spend all the time worrying about your problems, it is worse than having a full stomach. Listen, this is the lesson I like to use. A man tells me that he's fasting. Say, what have you seen in our church? We are fasting this week. He wakes up in the morning, like this last 2 or 3 weeks, I have been extremely busy. And in fact, if you've been coming on Tuesdays, you'll see it has reflected in my attendance on Tuesdays or my performance on Tuesdays. It's like I show up, I run. Sometimes I come late, I disappear. I've been very busy for the last few weeks. Let us assume that one of the things, of course, you know the job I do, all right? One of my jobs is to teach students. Now, on Tuesdays, okay, let me something like last week Wednesday, one of these recent Wednesdays. There was a particular Wednesday I give lectures for a total of 5 hours. I did two hours in UNEC here, then made a few phone calls and then took a short break and drove down to Ituku, the teaching hospital, and gave another 2.5 hour lecture. All right? And the next day, I returned to give another 2 hour lecture in the morning, somewhere else, and again in UNEC. Now, imagine that we are fasting. And I wake up, now, it's not just go there, talk. This lecture you have to prepare, make your PowerPoint, all right, presentation. In fact, this one I had to set questions, discuss with the people, because most of these lectures were postgraduate, all right? So, I have to really prepare and go there. That is, while I'm doing that, I'm not thinking of Bible, I'm not talking about the future, I'm not thinking of the realm of the spirit, I'm just thinking of pathology, problems, diseases, do you understand? Lectures. Then let's ask me, want to start the lecture, and I say that, praise the Lord. No, sorry, you don't say praise the Lord, do we? No. Just say, good morning. Guys, please don't mind, I'm kind of tired, you know. At church, we're fasting this period, I can't talk very loud. And they can't talk very loud, you know. We're fasting. Say, sir, what's the problem? Say, nothing serious. It's fast. I just fast. All right. Today I'm teaching you about the pathology of, let's say, tuberculosis. Now, I feel very righteous. That's what most Christians do. You explain that it's a fast. You have become very ineffective as a lecturer. That's not what I'm even talking about. What I'm talking about more is the fact that you are not even concentrating on anything spiritual. The only thing is that you are hungry. And I take those 4 hours I was telling you about. In between, I don't eat or drink anything. Are you getting my point? And then I go for more lectures and I keep teaching. Finally, 6 o'clock. Oh, well, I have not died yet. Where is the food? Then they say, okay, you must pray before you break the fast. So you go lie down somewhere. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will bless me. Amen. Bless me. Amen. Amen. Okay, it's 6 o'clock. And I go to the process of breaking. Listen, it's very common in Christianity. And as I'm saying it, as much as I'm saying it. Listen, my brethren, that's not what a fast is. That one does not help you in any form. I've seen salesmen get up in the morning. I remember one day, one brother told me something. He said, Doses used to fast a lot. And he used to see things very clearly. And I told him, I said, sir, I'm a doctor. When you're hungry, you will see visions. his wife laughed. When you're hungry, you will see all kinds of things. Your ears will start singing. It's not angels in heaven. It's called tinnitus. That's what we call it in medicine. No, hunger is what the problem is. I know what I'm saying. How can you get up as a salesman in the morning, making one visitation after the other, and you are claiming that God must bless you because you refused to eat before you went out? It's not Christianity. What is real fasting in that sense, all right? It is to seclude yourself. Go to a corner. Food, I say, at such times, is only a problem because of the distraction that it constitutes. So if you are so-called fasting and your phone is on, those phone calls are more distractions than two slices of bread and a cup of Milo. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Now, look, like I said, I'm just using fast as an example. Let's take money again as an example, which I said earlier, just to illustrate further. It's the beginning of the year, so this year must be good. So what do? We sow a seed towards the year. We take money. There are churches that collect your whole first month salary. They call it first fruits. It's not Christianity. Sometimes it borders on wickedness. You collect my tithe every month for the year. Then you collect the whole of January salary on top of it. And you see one special seed in between waiting. Are you God? What is left to serve God's self? Hey, sometimes, you know, churches amaze me. We claim we're walking by faith and two common spiritual sense and threw it away. And you know, we are like Western countries' government. We will always find new ways of taxation. After I've collected your tithe, I collect your first fruit, then special offering, then vows, then breaking open the doors of wickedness seed. By the time I finish, if you don't go poor, I won't leave you alone. I tell Christians, a life you cannot live constantly, don't live it episodically. Don't! Don't! You see, we don't understand. We sit in shadows. We don't go for what is real. A Christian must learn to be generous. Do you get my point? A generous man is a what the Bible calls a cheerful giver. He's just a giver all the time. In January, he's a giver. February, he's a giver. March, he's a giver. By December, he's still giving. It's just part of his soul. He's not trying to think that, have I given? No. Do you get my point? It's not as if, have I given? One brother once, I've used the illustration many times, but it's one of those things that made it impossible for me to believe in this practice of tithing that is preached in Christianity today. I have seen it all ways in which people have just insulted the sensibility of the things of God with it. A man said his things was missing. And I began to pray for recovery. I was about to start rebuking the revorer. He just realized that, I have not paid my tithe. And he said, okay, God, okay, I have to plead on mercy. Your tithe will not work this time because I'm owing. So God has become an insurance company. Yes, now when you don't pay your premium, no coverage. And this God is so wicked that once your premium expires, no, there are things you just hear. Say, this cannot be Christianity. It can't be. So I said, okay, so I remember I was invested. I said, so you came to God to plead works. Then it failed, you changed to mercy. Why don't you just plead the mercy constantly? So that you never have to remember whether you paid the tithe or you did not pay it. Kingsley is not around. I was going to be around today. Kingsley, he said something. He said, when he met me, Kai, that I liberated him. Because of bondage that he was in. Because of his own understanding of what they call tithe. If somebody gives you money on the as you are going on the road like this. He says, but how now? I just feel like blessing you. I just dash you 1K. Make a mental note. This thank God for phones that can store information. Just say, I got 1,000 naira today. And then, 100 naira I'm owing. Is the owing part of it that's the problem? I'm owing. Kingsley said he was always in an accounting distress. Him and God. He said, God, I better check the receipt. Did I pay you for that money? And one man said, it's called the whole tithe. Said Christians have not been paying the whole tithe. Said what is the whole tithe? If they dash you a recharge card, you will tithe the recharge card. I said, I ain't tithing the recharge card. I'll send the phone to God. Make your call. I will send the phone to God. Say, which kind of thing? Make your call. She said, since you want a tenth of it, it's 100 minutes that the money they gave me bought. So 10 minutes, call. Because I don't have anybody to call. Any preacher around, pastor, do you want to call anybody in your church? Take. And you finish calling. Call my, but as to give you money, not lie. I'm talking about the fasted life. But the generous man, there are times you give him a whole recharge card and he gives somebody else who needs it more than him. Do you get my point? Yes. His whole salary can come and he says that there is something more important than the things I have to do that this money will serve. And he gives it there. And like unlike my friend who pleads God's mercy only when he's owing the tithe, he pleads God's mercy all the time. And let me explain something to us. There is nothing for the steps to use when it's time for marriage. There's nothing for the steps to use when it is time for childbearing. There's nothing for the steps to use when it's time for Christianity. There is for prosperity. There's just a whole life of Christianity. That's what I'm trying to explain. That is what I'm trying to explain. So when people come to me and they want to ask specific advice about something, that's why, you know, I told you, I don't like counseling people who I don't know. Because it's absolute headache. Because the person you are counseling expects to tell the stories in 15 minutes and you're supposed to give an answer in 5 minutes and pray another 3 minutes and the whole problem should be ended in 10 minutes, in total of less than 30 minutes. Story 15 minutes, answer in 5 minutes, prayer in 3 minutes, thanksgiving for the rest of the time and manifestation of the prayer. Meanwhile, this young woman has formed a whole mindset for the last 15 years. None of which agrees with me or the word of God. But he thinks he qualifies because he goes to church. Listen, I've said it several times. I can't say it enough. Christianity is not about church going. It's not about church activity. It's not about even those spiritual activities. It is about a total life being formed that is conformed with the image of Christ. That's what it is. Then, when you have reached that level, if Lazarus dies after you have just finished the marriage in Cana of Galilee, it makes no difference. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Because Lazarus does not always fall sick before he dies. There are Lazarus that just are walking on the road. They stand, bam, fall down, dead. Jesus Christ, wake me up. What I mean is that there's no time to fast or do long prayers. Isaiah said, if you will walk like this, all right, before you even call, he said, then you will cry and I will answer. Before you have even gone out to start afflicting your flesh and bowing down the head. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you follow what I'm saying? That's why we lay the emphasis all the time. That listen, I have never been able to understand how Christians can go to church and the word of God is not paramount in their minds. As the thing they are looking for. Where's Jonathan? Jonathan and I went to preach somewhere last week. And I heard the pastor of the church pass a comment about one of the, that's a big pastor, about one of the pastors in the church, one of the pastors that he made pastors in the church, that the man doesn't come to church anymore. You know why? Because he made him the pastor in charge of their building project. So the man is always at the building site. Actually, before I finish the meeting, when they will finish the meeting, the man said, please, because he couldn't follow me, they asked him to do in church, that whether I can just go to the building site and just bless the place before I leave. So his men took me there. And this man greeted me very nicely, introduced himself as the pastor, so. And suddenly I connected that this is the man this other man was complaining about. So one of the other pastors came, elder, so, are you not coming for this meeting that's, you know, it's ending today or tomorrow? He said, no, I can't live here. If Even the man who posted him there is tired of the fact that he never lives there. You know what they call building project? A church that will seat, if it's bad, 1,000 people, if it's too small. You know how long it's going to take? Bro is there every time. I was a guest minister invited from another town to come there, to come and preach. Even the senior pastor was so blessed, he said, I must come back. This guy didn't come near. He saw me only when I came to bless the building project. And it dawned on me that Ross thinks this is the work of God. Let me say it again. Am I saying we will not work for God? No, I can't possibly say that. That's not what I'm saying. But anything we do for God must come out of the fact that we have been transformed by the word of God. Why did I talk about the fasted life? I use that fast as an example of the kind of things we do. We do it periodically, episodically. You understand? We just do one and then we run away. And we expect special blessing for that. That's what I tell you all the time. One day, I was eating somewhere and I went to a man's office. I was really hungry, so I said, can I have a snack? It's a friend. So they got me a snack and, you know, it's a soft drink. Then I said, are you not fasting? I said, I'm fasting. What's wrong with you? I'm fasting. So I was eating my meat pie and drinking my dessert. So, you know, they joined the fast. I said, which fast? I said, I did now. He said, but you're eating. I said, what's wrong with it? I'm hungry. I mean, if I'm hungry, I shouldn't eat because I'm fasting. It's the kind of things I used to do. That my wife said I was the strangest Christian she ever saw. I have left all that I had to do now to come to your office. You did not ask me whether I'm not fasting. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I'm sitting down and gisting politics, geography, history, everything with you. You have not asked whether I'm fasting. Since I entered the office, we have not joined hands to say in the name of Jesus Christ, my church, bless, I have not done anything like that. After perambulating and gisting worldly gist, I now ask for a snack. Then you are now asking me, am I not fasting? So I told him simply, Ogami, I'm fasting. He said, what about this food? I said, it's called hunger. I'm hungry. I hope you're following what I'm saying. No, open that Isaiah chapter 58. You see what I'm saying? Let me explain it properly. It said the people have chosen a day. All right? That's in verse 5, Isaiah 58. He said, is he a fast like this which I choose? A day for a man to humble himself. That is to punish himself. That's the meaning of the word humble. For spreading out sackcloth and ashes and as a bed. Alright? For spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed. Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day? God was angry, disagreeing. He said, is this not the fast which I choose? A new lifestyle. That's what I'm emphasizing. I'm not emphasizing on a day. He said, if you do that, verse 8, your light will break out like the dawn. You will not need to humble yourself in that afflicting manner. If you walk before me in righteousness all the time, your recovery will speedily spring forth. He said, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. These are the things you will do. You will remove the yoke that is putting the yoke on other people. You will remove that from your midst. The pointing of finger. And they speak and speaking wickedness. You watch what you say. If you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness. Please notice this. God said, wow, your light rise in darkness. If you do the works that are right and you do them, let me add my own words, continually. You know what he said? There's something he said there which is very interesting. Verse 11, he said, the Lord will guide you continually. Not only when you declare a two-day fast of not eating. If you do the work that is right continually, the Lord will guide you, how? Continually. The Christian life cannot be compartmentalized. It's not possible. You know that money matter, I've said it so much, I'm sure I don't have to bore people who are here with it again. A Christian cannot sow a seed. This seed is towards my car. It's not Christianity. You can't take money, wrap it, and label. You know people say, give your offering a name. You not label it. Offering for promotion in my office. If you give it to me, I will spend it too. And I will pray for promotion in your office. But one thing I know for sure is that money isn't bringing promotion in your office. It's not. It won't bring it. It will not bring it. What should a Christian do? This is what he does. When it comes to money matters, he learns. Go and read my book, How to Work for God. How to Work for God and Grace to Prosper. Please read it. Imbibe it. You know, that my book, Grace to Prosper, you know, human beings are very fun. Once they pick the book, nine. Let me just say majority. Majority of those who read it, the first, this is my smiley, he did it too. They first go to the back and go and read what I have to say about it. A lot of people, that's where they stop. Say, hey, pastor, forget me. Pastor Wang says it's not necessary. Which is very sad because that's not why I wrote the book. In fact, I put in the first segment of that book, all right? The beginning of that Titan segment, I put on top. If you read this and you stop giving, no be me. And what I said is that if you read it and you reduce giving, you have missed my point. But actually, all right, some people will reduce if they read that because they were walking out of legalism before. They were not doing it out of the liberty that's in Christ Jesus. This one I'm making. If somebody reads the whole book, there's one young man who was discussing this with my wife. And he says simply that any pastor who lays hold of that book, reads it properly, will buy for every member of his church. Because he understood what I wrote in there. And because throughout the book, in fact, one man read it and said that what I'm saying in effect, that proper Christian giving is 30%. I said minimum, you're just starting. That's how he interpreted it. I said, if you read the scriptures and you want to just apportion money, you will discover that just basic, because you just are basically comfortable and you are sharing out money, not less than 30% of your money will go out as offerings. And when I say offering, I don't mean church alone. No. I don't mean church alone. You will discover there are places where, I mean, for example, you were on campus. You knew how difficult it was as a student. I remember those days after I left school. Anytime any of my brethren from campus will come, and when they are going back, I will take all the money. If I remember one brother, the one day, he came to visit me as we were going. So, one day he came. There are two incidences I have in mind now. I took some of the money I had, and all the people that were together those days in school, that we used to sit down, have meetings, pray together, give this person this amount of money, give this person this amount of money, this person this amount of money, and this is your own money. I remember next time I went to campus, one of the people I sent the money to said, that the day she got her own portion. What happened was that there was something happening, I think, in fellowship, and she didn't have any money. And being a big sister, people used to come to her room to come and visit. And she was thinking like, dear Lord, let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Now this brother just arrived from Lagos. Said, hey, brought out the money, said, this is your portion. Bank said, I should give you. Said she got up, disappeared to the market, bought plenty of things, and this is one thing about Christianity, arrange for the people who will come to visit, that they must have something to eat when they come. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I don't know the proportion of my money it was that I sent to them. No. I just know that I left school, I've left some of my friends behind there. And I know how it is, an average student, every offering is the will of God. I know the story once of how I left bread in the car. And I said, we're hungry, we're for a wedding, so I just bought bread. And then so the brother was, I said, how are we going to waste this bread now? He said, waste? He said, leave him first. We left in the car, we brought to go out. 5 minutes after we reappeared at the wedding venue, was on campus, the chapel on campus. One brother approached me and said, Pastor Banky, I heard that bread is your own. I said, most certainly. Can we gather of the remnants? Let's not something be wasted. I said, go ahead.